Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me? You?
All right. Amen. Welcome. Come on in. I'm here. Amen. This is Overseer Timothy Jackson welcoming you.
He ain't going to my garage.
Here live. Amen. Amen. Here live. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to be back. Amen. Today is July the 9th, 2022. Lots of things are going on in the world yet. Amen. So it's also quiet. Amen. The church is quiet. People are quiet. Amen. And so, amen. People are quiet. The world is quiet. Amen. But don't you know that the devil is busy? Mostly when it's quiet. Amen. Don't mistake it. Amen. The devil is busy. If it's quiet, you best rest assured something's brewing. Amen. We told you before that we believe, and I still believe, that our Lord and Savior is on his way back soon. Amen. That hasn't changed. Amen. But it is quiet in the world. It really is. You know, we had the virus, the coronavirus. There was a lot going on in the news about the economy. Gas prices are rising. I don't know about where you are, but in Texas, they're beginning to fall. Amen. The gas prices are decreasing. Amen. And it's extremely quiet. You don't hardly hear too much going on in the news. I mean, you see some things going on here, some things going on there, some fighting, sad to say, some killing, some murdering. Amen. I just saw in the news today up in Philadelphia, these teenagers beat an old man, 72-year-old man, with a cone. You know, like the little cones they have on the road for the traffic, the little orange cones. I'm like, what is the world coming to? Now you got the teen. And we know it's not new, but, you know, these acts are becoming far too many. And it's not so much that these things didn't happen in the past, but they're happening too much. And so, again, amen. I know I've spoken to a few people. I've talked to this one preacher. He said he doesn't believe that Christ is coming back. Amen. He don't believe that Christ is coming back. Give me one moment. I think somebody's in the air. Amen. Give me one brief moment to let them know what's going on. Amen. So give me one moment. All right, okay, so we'll go ahead and send a message to let them know someone's coming in on the air. Amen, so we have to see if we can quiet that. All right, amen, okay. So back to the message, back to what I was saying, amen. So I've been very busy, amen. God's blessed me with a few opportunities, let's just say it like that. Be praying for him that he gives me the strength. So, constantly on the go, kind of almost up around the clock, get a few hours of sleep now, but it's okay. Amen. We're doing what we have to do. Amen. To take us to the next level. Amen. So it's a blessing. Amen. But I don't want no one to fall by the wayside. Amen. Amen. I don't want no one to get sidetracked. Amen. Because that's what the devil's good at. I'm laughing at a message I just received. The devil will sidetrack you. That's what he wants to do. You know, I think about the devil in the garden. Let me see if I can find this verse. I'm sure I can. It's over in Genesis. And I want to show you something about how the devil is. Amen. By the way, amen. There's a guy in our neighborhood. Just say a word for him and his family. The rumor is that they're going to pull the plug on him tomorrow. He had a motorcycle accident. And so I hate to hear that. He actually went to school with my brother. Some people think he went to school with me, but he didn't. I have five older brothers. And he actually went to school with, he was under one of my brothers. Amen. But by the time I got to high school, he was already gone. Amen. So let's pray for him and his family. Amen. It's, you know, it's a tragic loss. He was very known in the community, and just hate to hear things like that happen. Amen. Young man, I think he's definitely in his 50s because, again, he's under my brother. But just be praying for the family. Send the word. Amen. Because I know that's pain. When you lose a loved one so young, amen, it's a lot of people leaving this world that's under the age of retirement, under the age of 62. You know, used to be a time, I remember when I was young, anytime you heard of something about people, yeah, don't get me wrong, we had young people passing away in our time too, but not as much as now, it seems. I remember growing up, most of the people you saw in the obituary, because my dad, you know, he used to look at the obituary when I was young. You know, I don't know what it is, but about, you know, the old school generation, that was just their thing. Well, they read the newspaper a lot. That's what it was. And one of the things they look at was the obituary. And most of the time you saw elderly people in the obituary. You didn't too much see people in their 20s. It was rare. You would see it. It was a shock to see someone in their 20s and 30s. But, man, let me tell you, beautiful people leave this world every day. I remember when I used to throw newspapers some years back for the Dallas Morning News. We had a little small little contracting business. We distributed newspapers throughout the community. And, you know, every now and then I would glance and look at the obituaries. And I was just shocked to see so many young, beautiful faces leaving this world. And we know it's always been that way in a sense. But, hey, man, you just never know when the Lord's going to come. Amen. You never know when God's going to come. I'm so glad that over 22 years ago, April 2000, I gave my life to Christ. And I so much encourage young people to do so. Everyone of all ages that have not given their life to Christ. I've spoken to people of various ages that don't believe in God. No matter the age, I've spoken to mature in age men and women. Said the thing now that's huge that people like to say is that I'm a spiritual person, and they don't know that's just the devil way of tricking you. Well, we're all spiritual beings, we're all spiritual persons. We got that because within us is a spirit. That's how we're alive. If this soul, this spirit leaves this body will, if it separates, that means that you have no more life force in this life. So don't let the devil trick you with words and fool you and tempt you, you know, with temptation of the devil. You know, that's the devil's, that's his way of tricking you from the reality that of what's going on in the world. Amen? So don't think when you say, oh, you know, I'm a spiritual person, that's not going to get it. It's not going to cut it. And, you know, I don't know how true it is. I've heard people say things like, I guess, something about when people, they believe they can pray people into heaven or something like that. I'm like, oh, my gosh. The church has really fallen away. We're already past the falling away of the church. The falling away of the church has already began. I don't know if it began when my dad was a boy or when I was a boy, but the falling away of the church has happened. It's not going to happen. It's already happening, and it has already started. The falling away of the church. People believe that the falling away of the church is when people who are saved go back into the world and they're no longer saved. That's not true. That's not what the falling away of the church is. The falling away of the church is when people begin to reject God. We see it even more so now. You see people who are, you see this LGBTQ, and now they didn't add another letter. I said, man, what is going on? They're going to have the whole alphabet after a while. This new job I work on, they got this thing up there with the gay community. And then I'm like, what in the world is this? Then they didn't slap an extra letter on there. I'm like, my Lord. And, you know, the world is falling away, you know. People have turned their backs on God. People feel like they don't need God. People are so wrapped up in the self. Look at social media. all people do is pose and take pictures. And, you know, I got family members. My kids are into that stuff. You know, they're young. They're into that type of stuff. But you have to also teach them about God. You have to teach them about salvation. Because we're not going to always be in this world. This is a reality. We will leave this world, whether it be through Christ coming back to get the church, or whether it's by, you know, you may leave this life through whatever means. You may leave this world before Christ returns. That is a reality. I've dealt with the reality that we may not be, you know, Christ may not, we not be in the time of Christ's return. Now, I believe that we are. It's hard for me to see us going on another 3 to 5 years to 10 years. I had a family member that came over to the house the other day, and he was talking about the same thing. He was saying something about the gay community. He said, man, what is all this stuff going on in the world with the gay people and stuff? I said, brother, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not new to us. We've been watching it. We've been watching this stuff increase for now over 20 years because I remember in the late 90s, it kind of blew up, especially in the major cities. It wasn't so much in the smaller cities, but in the major cities, the gay community, from what I understand, was always huge. You talk to people from who are from California, the gay community was always big in San Francisco and certain parts of California, New York, Florida. Those major cities have always had, and I didn't know that. You know, you watch documentaries and shows back from that show stuff back in the 70s and the 80s. It's like, wow, this thing is not nothing new. There's, you know, the queer and the gay communities out there dancing half new. They've been having these parades for years. It's just now becoming mainstream. The media is pushing it. The government, whoever's behind the so-called elite, is really pushing it. And, you know, it's in your face. Everywhere you go, it's in your face. And so don't think that the world is okay. No, the world is not okay. That's what they want to teach you. That's what they want to push off on you is, hey, oh, man, we're okay. There's nothing wrong with what's going on. And the young people have just accepted it with open arms. I hate to say it, but they have. They have accepted the gay community with open arms. You even say something about somebody gay now. You can't. It's kind of like we used to say back in the day. You can't throw a rock without hitting somebody. You can't say nothing now about somebody gay without it hitting and touching somebody. Either somebody's having a gay experience, or they're very close to someone who's gay, or they got a family member that's gay. And I remember this was several years ago. It's been more than 10 years now for sure. We was on a job, and we was having a conversation, and I made a comment, and I just kind of saw some eyes. I just kind of saw some eyes sitting on me like they didn't like what I said. And I'm like, wow. I was like, okay, I remember a time that you could say stuff. It wasn't nothing ugly. It was just something about gay people that I said. It wasn't nothing like real ugly or trash or anything. It was just the fact that I mentioned something about gay people. And it was kind of funny because I remember a time where, you know, you used to say things. People wasn't so sensitive to them. And everybody gets so sensitive. Everything hurts everybody's feelings at this day and time. But I think about us as a people, as a black race of people, no one considers about how we feel. We feel ain't been reparated. I believe in reparations. I know most don't, but I believe that, yes, we are owed. Our ancestors were brought over against their will, and they lost their identity to build a nation that was not their own and that we are still not fully benefit or equal. So, yes, I do feel like we're owed reparations. Now, will we ever get them? Probably not. Understand the devil is behind a lot of this. We'll probably never receive reparations. It'd be nice to, you know, especially considering, you know, my dad has gone on, grandparents have gone on, great-great-grandparents have gone on, and none of them received any reparations. So are we due? Yes. The reason why I say we're owed reparations because you have given reparations to different nations around the world, but you have not given. See, if nobody got any reparations, maybe we wouldn't be making a big deal. Now, we probably still say, hey, we do owe something. We built this country. We're not equal. But anyway, I think about these things, and you can't say things like you used to. Okay? Back to the scriptures over in Genesis, it's talking about Satan and how he works, how he operates. The devil is subtle. Okay? And I think about this often, how he approached Eve. It's as if he knew not to approach who? Adam. He knew not to approach Adam. Because Adam had a very strong relationship with his creator, with God. And I know that a lot of people don't believe in the Garden of Eden and the story of the garden and the apple. I met someone that said something about they don't believe that it was an apple. They believe it, they really just don't believe the Bible, period, pretty much from the conversation. You know, all that fake story, you know. You run into a lot of people like that, and it's okay. Because we understand that majority of the world, the majority of the church is lost. Not to mention the world, majority of the church, you know, the world is already lost. Majority of the people who attend church is lost. Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. He asked the woman a question. So the devil is going to always approach you with the question. And one day I'll have to talk about that a little bit more, expound on that. But for the sake of time, I want to kind of stick to eschatology because that's what we pretty much teach in the study of end time events. Look at the church falling away and how Satan always starts out with the question. Or his, you know, his temptation. He wants to know if you're willing to sell out. That's how it works. You got to ask a question to get an answer, right? If you want to know, you know, you don't ask, you'll never know. This is what we say back in the day. If you don't never talk to a chick, a female, you never know if she likes you. You know, you approach them, you know, we tell my son, well, you know. If you don't never ask, you how will you ever know? It's better to ask and know than to not know, right? So anyway, think about this times age that we live in, how this evil, wicked Babylonian system, my gosh, is rearing its ugly head. For the past few months, we had mass shootings. Here in Texas about a week or two ago, they had a truck about 40 to 50 people dead. They was trying to traffic people to the country. It's not new. You think about those people who died. And think about they were just a few that didn't make it. How many people are trafficking to this country daily? You know, and I'm not trying to be mean or nothing. You know, a lot of times people, when you say things, people take things the wrong way. How many illegal aliens? I see them all the time here in Texas. And I always wonder, I'm like, how is this guy younger than me and he can't speak English? That means that there's a lot of illegal aliens coming over new. They're fresh. These are not people that's been here 20, 30, 40 years. These people are new in their 20s. I'm like, how is it that you can't speak English? That's because they're bringing people illegal into this country all the time. Okay? All the time. Just the other week, I know they've been having this thing with the abortion. I learned some new things this past week from my new job from just talking to, you know, some peers at the job. Some stuff that shocked me. And I remember watching this video. I can't remember if it was, it had been earlier this year. This guy was on YouTube. He was saying how they were trying to pass a law to make pedophilia legal. I was thinking about what in the world is this guy talking about? There's no way in the world in the United States they would do anything crazy or stupid like that. I said, what is he talking about? There's no way in the world. Now, he said who the group is. He said they're trying to legalize
pedophile. I didn't think much of it. I remember hearing him say that. I didn't think much. I said, well, that's not going to happen in the U.S. I mean, I don't really see nowhere in the world that they would allow that. You know, I know in certain countries the age of consent is 17, which, okay, I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's only 1 year from 18. Okay. And I just don't. You know, some people make a big deal of it, but I don't. Okay, because just to be truthful with you, people are doing certain things anyway. Let's be honest, okay? And it's with consent, even though I don't agree with it. I'm not saying that I agree with it, but it's with consent. I've spoken to people that have done it, men and women, and it's consensual. I'm like, okay. And so, in fact, I'm going to share this with you. I met a guy. I actually know the guy. But we actually worked on a job before. Actually met him. His first child is by one that's older than him. He was a teenager. When I say he was a teenager, he was only 15 and she was 21. Just to give you an example, that these things are already happening in the world. He had a child by a 21-year-old girl. He was 15 years old. Consensual. Consent meaning that they agreed it was okay. There was no one taking advantage of each other, you know, as we say, okay? These things, it happens vice versa from men to women and women to men. These things have been happening for thousands of years, so we shouldn't be shocked and act like this don't happen, okay? And you'd be shocked if I was to tell you some of the stories that I've heard in the early 1900s, but I'm not going to go there. Again, a story for another day. But the point that I'm making is that this group, I found out this past week, tried to legalize the age of consent in the U.S. down to 10 years old. I was in shock. I said, y'all got to be kidding me. They said, no, this actually happened. They voted this. And see, I told y'all, it's quiet. Remember earlier in the show I said it's quiet. And I do apologize. I didn't get to read no scripture or say a prayer. I just jump right into it. I'm going to say a prayer in a minute. But I got to give you this stuff. So, you know, because I'm so busy now, you know, just trying to take care of some things, it's like sometimes I get ready for it. And, you know, I'm just on the move. And it's okay. Because all glory be to the Most High God. But you know, I just got to get certain things out. when they said that, I think to myself, wow, how can people in this world, and particularly in the church, not see that we are in the last days? Why is it not being preached that Christ is possibly on his way back or on his way back? Why is there no conversation about this among the saints? You talk to the saints about this, they shake their head like, no, Christ ain't coming back in our lifetime. Maybe in our great-great-great-grandkids. They'll say 200 or 300 years. Look at the world now. Did you not just hear what I said? They're pushing the age of consent down to 10. Don't you feel like they're trying to legalize pedophilia? If they do it in the U.S., they're going to do it in Europe, Asia. They're all over the world. And, you know, the third world countries are not going to have a problem with this because they're just not. Because most of this stuff is already going on in third world countries. And they don't really have a law system like we have here in the United States. I've spoken to people from third world countries. And so these things, you think if it happens here, the rest of the world is going to follow suit. That's all I'm saying. And we're in 2022, and that's a discussion? For them to move the age of consent down to 10 years old? You have a fit as a father if something like that happened to any of your children. Anybody would. And so you think about these things, that if conversation, they voted that then. They say, okay, well, let's move to the age of 15. They came and said, no, we're not doing that either. They voted that down. And so my thought and mindset is, you don't think it's going to be revisited in another 5 years? I guarantee in another five, definitely no less than 10 years, it's going to be revisited. And they're going to push for, I guarantee you, 17 or 15 for the age of consent. It's coming. Anytime that they consider something like that and they even entertain that, This is the world we live in. We talk about this wicked, evil, Babylonian system. And everybody wants to shout out, oh, America's Babylon. No, Babylon is the whole system. It's the whole world. You can say America's Babylon if you want to. I don't have a problem with that. You can say Europe is Babylon. I don't have a problem with that. I get it. I understand. But what you need to understand is Scripture. The Bible says over in Revelation 17, it says the whore that sitteth upon many waters. You got to read into that spiritually. You can't look at that and say, well, America's surrounded by many waters. No. America ain't the only one that has sex trafficking. America ain't the only one that has underage, teenage, and children's sex. That's not the only country that has prostitution and porn and drugs. We're not the only country on this planet. See, if America was the only place that these things were happening, mass shootings and murderings and kids, I'll say, yeah, you're right. America is Babylon, the great whore. But when you look on the news and you see Putin over here just mass murdering people, you look over in Africa and you know, they kidnapping a group of schoolgirls and only some of them return. Well, what happened to the rest of the girls? There's sex trafficking women out of Africa by the tens of thousands into Europe. Nobody wants to talk about that. Look at the stuff that I'm not going to get into. China's doing so much evil, wicked stuff on such high level. I've heard stories about them boiling children and eating children in China. I don't know. I'm just saying. You look at South America, the cartels, drugs, and things that are going on in South America, prostitution, sex trafficking in the United States. These things are real. We're not looking at the news as fake news. I understand people say, oh, that's fake news, but some of the stuff is real. Okay? I've been to the DFW, Dallas Metro, for a long time, and some of the stuff I see is mesmerizing. And then Dallas is not considered one of the largest cities on the earth. There are cities that have over 10 million people in it. I can only imagine what goes on in cities like that. We're originally about 2 or 3 months back. In Dallas, there was a group of people that was called. I'm sick from a teenage girl. I think to myself, how are we here in 2022? Because why? We live in an evil, wicked system that's ran by who? The devil. I was in shock to find out that sex trafficking brings in billions of dollars. You think the governments of the world ain't got their hand in that money? Of course they do. The governments of the world got their hand in drug money, prostitution money, sex trafficking money, gambling, you name it. Anything that's evil, wicked, that brings in money, they got their hands in it. That's why it's called a whore, because that's what a whore does. She whores for what? Oh, y'all missed it. Y'all ain't hearing me. A whore is a whore for what? Money. Materialistic things. The world government systems are whores. And that's why your average, everyday pastor, preacher, evangelist, I call them entertainers. Your entertainers in the church cannot see that. You got to be spiritually connected to see these things. And I mean spiritually connected to God, not the devil. You have to be connected to the Holy Spirit to see these things. Why do you think they flash money and fashion all over the TV screen every 5 seconds? Buy this, buy that, shop here, shop that, money this, money that. They got so many stories on social media and the TV. I guess that's why I mostly play video games, and I always have. I've not really been entertained by the television. I watch TV, don't get me wrong. I do watch some crazy shows, too, don't get me wrong. I'm not excluding myself. I do watch some crazy shows. I just don't watch a lot of them, okay? Let me say a prayer. It's 6:30 Central Standard Time. Let me say a quick prayer at least. The most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for being here. We thank you for this show. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the Chaos Radio Talk team. We thank you for those guys for being on it. We thank those guys for allowing the opportunity for us to speak this word. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore, Heavenly Father. We come thank you for life itself. We come thank you most of all for your son being sent to deliver us and to save us from our everlasting burning hell and lake of fire. Heavenly Father, again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. We will always praise you. Amen, amen, amen. Back to the business of the Bible. Man, that's some pretty amazing stuff. I tell you, you can never get enough of, you know, the scriptures, the Holy Word, the Bible of God, you know, the book, the Bible, you know. Being a child of God is awesome. Which I had picked up on salvation a long time ago when my dad was trying to encourage me as a child. He said, you got to get saved. I remember after I was 12 years old. I laugh at it now. It's kind of funny now. It was, you know, it was just as a kid, you just didn't understand what you was getting into. I said, hey, I want to be saved. I didn't really understand it. But I'm glad that God, grace and mercy, is on me and has been on me all these years to allow me to see salvation. I'm so grateful for that. I think of the people who lost their lives and didn't have a second chance. There is no second chance, man. But you leave this world once you are in a coma or you're just incapacitated. You don't know what's going on. You see people as they get older. I think it's called dementia. I'm not saying it's impossible for them to get saved. I know sometimes I spoke to a lady yesterday on the phone. She said something about she has dementia a little bit. She said, I remember, so I don't want to take any notes or anything, she said. So she said, because she kind of has dementia. So I get it now that when you're in those type of situations, salvation is possible, because there are times, from what I understand, that people go in and they go out. In other words, they can remember real good, like nothing's wrong with them. The next minute, they may be out of it. So, again, given the situation in this world, okay, talking about this evil demonic system, let's go there. Let's look at some scriptures. Let's go, and, you know, I'm going to read the scripture first. I have it marked in my Bible. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse 3. Very key verse. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse 3. It says, let no man, that means even me, myself, or any other man, let no man deceive you. That's why the Bible says, lean not towards what? Thine own understanding. Let no man deceive, because you can deceive yourself. I can deceive myself. Lean not towards thine own understanding. Let no man deceive you by any means. Okay? Now, before I go on, I want to also go over to Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 4. Don't you think it's ironic? Christ also said the same thing, Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 4. But they cry faithfully the same. And this answer is said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. This is highly important, and this is very problematic in our churches today. Make no mistake about it. We are in the last days. We are in the last church age. I say it so many times. I tell people, I share it with people. I tell so many people. I tell, with this minister as of recent, a lot of people don't believe it, that, you know, because Satan has the world so blinded. And I hate to give Satan credit, I really do, but he's done his job. He has deceived the world. He's deceived you so that you're not even convinced that Christ is on his way back. Satan has so deceived you. Like, what? You ever see people when they put those little things over their eyes? You ever see them when they wake up and they have the thing over their eyes? And my wife used to sleep with one of them. They used to sleep with them things on her eyes a while back, some years back. seriously. I try to sleep with that thing on my face. I cannot sleep with them things on my eyes. It just feels funny. I said, man, I'm good. I closed my eyes. She didn't worry at all. I think she just, you know, just got it. Maybe it was just a fad or something. Maybe she said, I'm going to try it out. She didn't worry at all. But the point I'm making is that the devil has blinded. He got the church with blinds on. We're not talking about the world. We know they're blind. We're talking about the church. The church has blinds on. And, man, when I tell you the church can't see to save their soul, most of them, I'm serious when I said they can't see the they can't see to save their souls. I really do mean that. We are in the last church age. We're in the last days. We are in the last church, the Laodicean church. We got folks so convinced that they don't want to go to heaven. That's how convinced they are that Christ is coming. Christ coming, man. Christ ain't coming back. They don't want Christ to come back because you want to know why. Do you want to know why they don't want Christ to come back? They are enjoying this flesh. Yes. Flesh is good. What do you mean flesh is good, Pastor? Don't the flesh sin? Yeah, it's sin. It's still good. This is what I mean when I say flesh is good. When God made Adam, he made it from the dirt, dust of the earth. The Bible said. And it became flesh. And then when he gave Adam Eve, the twain became one, the flesh. It was good. It was good then. It's good now. And I'm going to prove to you here in a minute how it is still good. Both on the good side and the bad side, how flesh is good. The flesh is so good that God made man his own image that once said, what art man that thou art mindful of him? God created you and I in his image. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. That's why our flesh is still good, because he went out his way to send his son to redeem us back to him. Flesh is still good. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. Flesh is so good that you take a bath, you bathe every day, at least you should. I don't know about nobody else, but I bathe every day. Bathe every day, brush your teeth, wash your face, wash your hair. Got hair. I don't have hair anymore. I still wash my little bald head. But, you know, you get cleaned up, you clean your body, you put on some cologne or some perfume. That's how good the flesh is. You dress it up. You love this body. Folks love the flesh so much, they all on social media just flung the flesh. Flung it all naked. Cheeks out, you know what I'm saying, buttocks, whatever you want to call it, breasts all out, muscles all out, abs, you know, we got the abs, the men got the six-pack, muscles, they showing their legs, the men and women, they dress in their best attire, they get in car. That's how much the flesh is good. That's the bad side, because you begin to worship yourself, the vain. The good thing about flesh is about flesh being good. God went out of his way to send his son to redeem us back to him. That's how good the flesh is. The flesh is so good, man. You go out the way to take care of yourself. People go out the way to spend expensive clothes to put on their flesh. Flesh is good. I don't let anybody tell you to teach anything different. Flesh is good. Because guess what? When we come back, you're going to get a new body. He's going to redo your flesh. He's going to renew your flesh and redo your body. You're going to look good for all eternity. There won't be any blood in you. There won't be no need for blood. You have a spirit in you. And that spirit is what's going to replace the blood. It's going to flow through you. It's going to give you life. And right now, you got to have what? Blood in you to live. If you don't have blood, you can't live. But in the next life, you're going to have the Holy Spirit in you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, which you got to receive the Holy Spirit now, you can't live for all eternity in the next life. You got to accept Christ to get there. It's too quiet, y'all. Church is too quiet. The devil's planning something. They said that they turned on that CERN July 5th. Now, you got some people that talk about, man, what's this CERN stuff? Those black holes, that stuff is real. The fallen angels and the demons have been God put them, he sealed them. He imprisoned them. That's what I'm trying to say. He imprisoned them. So remember, a lot of things that man is doing They're getting from the fallen angels. There's knowledge from the fallen angels. And all do these things, the fallen angels are not on the earth anymore. Okay? A lot of demons, they roam free, but they're physically not on the earth. The giants, if they are, they're hidden. They can't roam free like they used to. So a lot of the stuff they can't do, man has to build this stuff for them. And it takes more time than when these demons and angels could. You know, the angels and demons can build a spaceship probably in no time. So you're talking about some high technology, some knowledge that man don't have, that the angels have shared with man. In order for them to do that, they have to kind of teach them. It's kind of like telling somebody how to do something over a phone. It's like trying to teach somebody, the angels on the other side, we're on this side. It's like a phone call, trying to teach somebody how to build a car over the phone without them even seeing it. You know, that's all you do is just hear. You don't think that these so-called elite speak to demons, speak to Lucifer? Yeah, this stuff is real, man. This stuff is real. But anyway, what I was saying about Christ, said, let no man deceive you. We are in that age. Let no man deceive you. We are in that age, okay? Don't let anybody tell you different. The church is small. Church is sleep on a pew. The church got so comfortable, they stretched out on the pew sleep. They stretched out sleep. The church is asleep. Satan has lullified us to sleep with social media, TV shows. The devil has entertained us like crazy. And we sit there like a baby with a bottle of our mouth. We just suck it up and just accept it. Like a newborn baby. That's what he wants. He wants man and woman to be deceived. He don't want you to chase God or even see God. And man, I tell you, the devil is just about got rid of the church. And he can't get rid of the church, literally. But he wants to put the thought of the church out of the way. Don't you know that's what part of the pandemic was about? Was to hide the church? I heard people still today complain about the church. And the parishioners, and the people. Some of the churches have to even close their doors. People are not going to church like they were. My wife just said that they got some more people coming. The church is shit to him. I said, wow, okay, that's good. Most churches, they still trying to, you know, get the membership, as they say, bring the membership back up. I know these mega churches are hurting because, you know, you said anywhere from 5, 10, 15, 20, 35, 30,000 people in the church, and over 75% of them go missing. Oh, yeah, you're missing a great deal of your budget. That's a lot of money. And, you know, some churches are scrapping to try to pay the, you know, a lot of big churches, they got payroll. They got people who are employed by the church. Falling away of the church. That's what Satan is trying to do. He is trying to hide church. He don't want you to see the church no more. He don't want you to be on social media. He don't want us talking on the radio, on the air. Social media, Facebook, YouTube, whatever means. And the word of God is talking about, he wants to snuff it out. He is trying to get angel consent down to 10. Man, don't let nobody be concerned about church. Oh, my gosh. This is the devil. This is what he does. They work 24 hours. They work around the clock. They know soon and very soon that hell is like a fire waiting on them. They're working constantly. I tell people all the time, there's no way in the world I would want to be the devil or any of those angels or demons. Because I just can't understand, and will never understand, why would you turn your back on God? You've got to know that you're going to be punished for it. Why would you do it? Why in the world would you turn your back on God and disobey God? For what? Lord, have mercy. Don't you know that punishment is coming? I mean, I remember the whoopings when I was a kid. Boy, I used to hate to get a whooping. They used to hurt. My dad used to whoop me. My mom used to whoop me.
And, man, my dad, you know, I used to hate to get whoopings by him, you know. You just, you know, men are a little bit more stronger than women. My gosh, man, them licks hurt. It really didn't matter with mom or dad, because them licks hurt. I'm like, man, what in the world? I don't want no whooping. This is what I always try to do right. Sometimes, I know all the time, I was no perfect kid. I don't think anybody was. But, you know, I try to stay out of the limelight of spankings and whoopings. They hurt. Why in the world would the devil do what he did? Why? Why would you do that? That's the ultimate disrespect to your creator, as to say, I want your spot. I want to take your place. Man, are you crazy? Take his place. You can't take God's place. But you got people like that in the world. They want to act like God doesn't exist. That's what the devil did. Yeah, God didn't exist. Oh, I'm going to take your spot. Man, don't you see that God created you? Don't you know that God put you here on this earth? He put you in existence. He created you. And you have the nerve to want to go against the Almighty God? There's no way. What was he thinking? Back to 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. What day? The day of the Lord. The tribulation, the seven-year period, judgments and punishment of the wicked. That day shall not come. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a fallen away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist. He has to be alive now. If we're saying that Christ is going to come back in a year or two, I'll tell you this, you know, after 2023, I don't know what to tell you. If it don't happen, it don't mean that it's not going to happen in the future. He's still going to come back. I do believe he's going to come back soon. Soon and very soon. They used to sing when I was a kid. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. See, those songs had meaning back then. It meant something. They talked about the return of Christ. They talked about the blood of Christ. Now, I don't know what the song I'm talking about now, to be honest and truth with you. But I highly believe that Christ is coming back either this year or next year. And I listen to you on study and research to find out why I say this year or next year. Okay. Again, no one's trying to predict and say we know when Christ will know. It's not what we do. We're just looking at the times and the seasons, as Paul spoke about. Paul talked about the times and the seasons, did he not? Yes, he did. He spoke about them, okay? He spoke about the times and seasons over in 1 Thessalonians, the chapter 1. He said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. What he is saying is that the times that's the war, the rumors of war, don't you worry about it. Just like it was said to Daniel back over in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel had questions. He said, well, when is all this going to take place? Daniel was like, man, what's going to happen? And he said, Daniel, don't worry about it. It'll be long sleep before this even happens. They said that, in fact, you go on and see what the end going to be and stand in your lot in the end. Don't concern yourself. You won't even be here for the tribulation. Same for us. Same for all the saints. We were not going through the great tribulation. That amazes me, too. When preachers say stuff like, we're going through the great tribulation. I'm like, where did they come up with that? I got more scriptures I can point to that say that we're not going through the great tribulation than there are scriptures that even point to. In fact, I ain't found a scripture yet that points to it. And I've studied the book of Revelation. I went through the book of Revelation. And this is not to brag. It's just saying I hadn't found it. I've been looking for it. I look for it. When people say things I look for, I go to the Bible and look for it. And, you know, because I've been reading the Bible, studying the Bible so long,
and I wouldn't have to go to Google anything. But you can Google it just to be sure. So let me see if I can Google this thing. Nothing. Okay? There are some school of thoughts, as we used to say, but not enough really even said. That's not what the Bible is saying. That's not saying we're going through the Great Tribulation. Not at all. Okay? Amen. Moving along. We're talking about the silence. You don't hear much about the war. You don't hear much about the coronavirus. You hear some news from there about somebody got robbed, somebody, this happened to this person over here, this happened to that person over here. You know, news that we're used to, but to me, everything's quiet. I would say I watch quietness in this world, in this life. Now, when we get to heaven, there's peace and quiet. Nothing wrong with it. But I think about the quietness, and I always think about, what's next? That's what I think about. What's next? What's going to happen next? Sure, it's quiet. What's going to happen next? I help them to think, okay, what's the devil up to? What are these boys? Why is it so quiet? And we think about that. We say, okay, we're ready to go back with Christ. Irregardless of what the devil do, we are ready to go back with our Lord and Savior. And that's what's most important. That's what I'm trying to get you all to see. Most important thing is to go back with God. Now, before I get into the book of Revelation, because I'm going over that, I want to share with you the plan of salvation. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. But before I go, I want to share this verse with you. It's from St. John, the 4th chapter, verse 14. Again, I want to share with you St. John, the 4th chapter, verse 14. This is what it says. It says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. What do you think Christ is talking about here? Christ is saying, if you come to me and I give you to drink me the Holy Spirit, this is what he's referencing, the Holy Spirit, so you'll never thirst. In other words, once saved, always saved. You'll never have to thirst. You'll never be lost. See, if I hunger again, that means I'm going back. I'm not hungry if I eat. If I hunger again, or thirst again, that means I'm going back. See, with salvation, there's no losing of salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. And this is why Christ used this reference that you'll never thirst. Well, if I'm thirsty, that means that I can lose my, my fulfillment of being full, okay, of water. Let's say if I had drink, I say I'm full of water. I'm good. I'm not thirsty. I have no need of nothing. But if I become thirsty again, that means, man, I gotta go back and drink some more water. See, Christ said that. He said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Again, once saved, always saved. I don't understand how certain preachers and pastors can't understand that. I'll never thirst again with Christ. I'll be with him forever, for all eternity. Amen. Good word. Now let me finish St. John, the 4th chapter, verse 14. It says, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. That's what it's referencing, everlasting life, eternal life. It says, never thirst again. Don't like this. Go with me. Amen. Revelation. Cut the fan. I'm getting a little chilly in here. It's down here in Texas. That's why I want to show up early. Man, it gets so hot down here in Texas. Man, I tell you, our AC unit, we have the ceiling fans on, fans, and the AC unit. That's how hot it gets down here in Texas. it's been so hot this past week. Yeah, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, every day this past week has been over 100 degrees. One day we got to 106. It's been very hot here in Texas. And I know most of you all know that, but my gosh. Woo, man, I'm talking about you breathing heat, breathing in and breathing out. It's just so hot. I'm like, golly. And you think about this global warming stuff, but the ice melts, how it just melts and just falls into the water. I'm like, man, I see why it is so hot. And, you know, it's nice and cool in the morning hours, and it's nice and cool at night. When I say nice and cool, not like cold, but, you know, it's like it's more tolerable with the air. AC is good in the morning and the night. But my gosh, when that sun hits noon, it gets so hotter in Texas. It doesn't start to cool down until after 6. So it's after 6 here. So the temperature's kind of, you know, dropping a little bit, which is a good thing. But my goodness, between about 12 and 6 or 12 and 5, 30, my gosh, it's just unbelievably hot here in Texas. So I tell you, if you come to visit Texas, make sure you pack light. You bring you some shorts and sandals. It's funny to certain people that when they come out to the shop, they laugh at us because we be in sandals and shorts. I remember a lady said something like that. Why do you people here got on shorts and stuff? Well, it's Texas. It's hot. We don't have 20 and 30 degree or even 40 degree weather year round. It gets hot. When it's time to crank up the heat, it gets hot. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining that much. I love the heat. I'd rather have the heat. It would be hot than cold any day, I'll tell you that. But, amen. But anyway, it's been a blessing to bring you the word of God. Hopefully something's been said to bless your heart, to bless your spirit. We are praying for those that have gone home, the saints that have gone home. To glory, we are thankful to the Most High God for the family, friends, and loved ones. We're thankful for those saints. Amen. We need more better people who are God-like in the world. Amen. I didn't say you have to be perfect. We say Christ is Christ-like. Sometimes people get this mindset that, this person is perfect or this person is a pushover or whatever. No, not at all. You know, we love first. That's the first step we take is love. We love everybody. We love the Most High God. We love ourselves. So we take the high road, and that's what we do. We focus on love. Amen. Regardless of what people try to pull you into, and just focus on love. L-O-V-E. Amen. All right, so back to the show. Back to where we were. I had to take a little. Just a little thought break, amen. I'll say this. Thinking about the Babylon system, okay, and thinking about the things that people do in this world, behind the scenes, pretty much. I know that there's these secret societies and these secret organizations that keep everything hidden from the public view because they want to keep you blind to the truth. I tell people, if God wasn't real, why is there such an agenda to keep God hidden, to keep God, you know, basically like God isn't real, to discredit God. And so you think about these things, you think about this, again, this world, the system that we live in, because why? This is the fallen angels, the demons, this is their jobs, to fight tooth and nail before they go to the lake of fire. And so they're going to believe their God, which is Satan. You know, most of that they are doomed. Wow. That's something to think about. Yeah, all right. So anyway, let's just go here to Revelation, the 17th chapter. Amen. Revelation, the 17th chapter. There we go. And you know, we talk about the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Remember, this is a whore. Okay. And mostly what do whores do? They prostitute themselves. They give up pleasure.
Okay, hear me good. They give up pleasure or the idea of pleasuring. For what? Money. Because they know money is going to bring them what? Materialistic things, materialistic goods that they want. So they'll take that money and buy whatever their heart desires, supposedly. Okay? That's what they do. Okay? You see women all on social media, you know, on these videos and see the Instagram pages and stuff like that. You see these women and they're flashing all these nice expensive purses, getting on planes and cars. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to think I'm just picking on women because men do it too. Guys out here that sold out, you know, cars, expensive things. I'm not knocking expensive things, okay? I'm not knocking enjoying the world. I enjoy the world too. I got family members that do that stuff. They buy expensive. I don't get into just, oh my gosh, I don't have no 20 pair to 100 pair of shoes in the closet. I'm far from that. Probably one or two. I don't have a large, huge wardrobe. I just don't get into certain things. It's okay. If you have the money, I'm not going to have that many clothes. The point I'm making is that, you know, this is a system that we were brought up in, okay? We were born and raised in. Just like you were born and raised to watch TV, right? You didn't know about the things that sometimes they show on TV. But we were raised up. How they start you out watching TV? How they start you out? Watching cartoons. Every little kid starts out by watching cartoons. Something what? Subtle. Like I said earlier in the show, the Garden of Eden, Satan approached Eve subtle, under subtle circumstances. The devil can never come to you and say, hey, look at me, this evil, gruesome dragon. Nobody will follow a devil in the infancy. No one's that crazy, right? Okay? Nobody would do that. Okay? So, you start out with cartoons. You move up from cartoons to your little teenage show like Disney, okay, got that. And then you go from there to these other shows, like some that you may like you may like cars or you may like Westerns or sci-fi. Like me, I like sci-fi movies. I love movies about space and aliens. I always have. And so it's just a thing that has carried over to my daughter even after my salvation. I still watch those types of shows, okay. Some things are just, you know, I wouldn't really say it's a bad habit, but it could be. Some bad habits are hard to break. I still watch sci-fi movies, okay? I happen to find them very interesting, especially since a lot of things that we have learned over the years. And so I said to say this. Let me share this with you. Let me show you how subtle the devil is. Do you know it wasn't until recent, maybe within the last 5 years, that I realized that there was a Smurf called Vanity Smurf. And it wasn't until I got fully grown in my 40s that I realized that, hey, you know what? It was selling that Vanity Smurf was gay. You don't see that now because of the way the world is. But then as a kid, you couldn't see that. This guy that always looks in the mirror at himself and talks a certain way. You couldn't see that Vanity Smurf was gay. What? It's been happening in front of us ever since we were kids and we never called to it. It's a psychological mindset, psychological, the things that they do to you. I heard about a lot of stuff that Disney does with these cartoons and stuff. And so all cartoons do it. Don't think that's the one that creates Smurf or you know, the guy, whoever I just said, Disney. Don't just think it's them. I look back at all the cartoons, even when my kid looked at like, they've been doing this stuff all along. So, again, I said to say this, is that this is where the world has gone. We've already been falling away from the church. They prodded you from the church, from the church door. They prodded you out of the church. At least you would go to church on Sundays and holidays. Now you don't even want to go to church at all. That's how it is now. People don't even want to go to church at all. You leave one on Sundays and holidays. People don't even want to go to work. They don't want to go to church. This is the world we live in.
And they've been pitching this nonsense for hundreds and thousands of years. This is a system. And they said, if something ain't broke, don't what? Don't fix it. But I believe the system has existed for over 2,000 years, ever since Christ last was here on earth. Over 2,000 years, the system apparently has been successful in doing what they feel like they need to do. Goodness. That's really something to think about. Mm. All right. Man, that's really something to think about. Anyway, back to the great whore. The devil is going to always come to you subtle. He's going to always come to you with candy, like the movie It. Or any movie, you know, they always show these clowns of people showing, you know, with the kids. They always have what? Candy. Hey, look at me, I'm innocent. Then next thing, rah, you know, they snatch you up. That's what the devil does. You know, they send in all this innocence. They start you out with watching cartoons on Saturday morning. Next thing you know, when you get old enough, sometimes, some cases, when you're not old enough, you're watching porn. And that's true. I remember the TV shows, you didn't see women on the shows naked. You basically got porn on your regular TV. You don't have to go to porn. They got movies and shows now that show all this stuff. It's like, wow. They are continuously entertaining you and continuously prepping you and your children, desensitizing you for this new world. So we're not like these things don't happen. They're prepping you. They're prepping mom and dad. That's the world we live in. It's always been that way. Okay. Just kind of thinking about some things. All right. So, let's see. Let's look at Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse 1 and verse 5. Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse 1 and verse 5. Now, not 1 through 5, just verse 1 and verse 5. I'll let you read verses 1 through 5 if you like. I may touch on a few of them. I just want to read 1 and 5. It says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sent upon my way. Amen. That sits upon the waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So think of this as a blanket placed over the table, meaning that the influence of the whore is all over the earth. It's not New York, it's just not L.A. or Baltimore or England or Dallas or Houston or, you know, whatever. It's all over the earth. I told you earlier that sex trafficking, child pornography, drugs, alcohol, you name it. It's not just in America or a certain city in America. They're doing the same thing they do in big cities, they're doing in little country towns. Believe it or not, they are. You just don't know it. Because for one, a lot of times you stay in a little small country, you get everybody to know each other. It's like, I can't believe that person's doing this. The same game that they've been running for thousands of years. And they're not going to say it. They'll say, hey, don't change nothing because I know it works. Very interesting. Okay. Revelation 18 chapter. Okay, I need to read Revelation 17, verse 5, I'm sorry. It says, upon
her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth. Amen. All right. Well, have mercy. I'm just thinking about how, you know, what I'm thinking about is how Satan has his grip on the earth of mankind. How it's going to take Christ to loosen that grip. You have a lot of people who say, it's not going to stop. When is racism going to stop? When is crime going to stop? And all this and that, and abortions, it's not going to stop. As long as the devil's loose, he's going to continue sending false hope. That's what he does. He gives false hope. Lord. Amen. Revelation, the 18th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Let's read. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. It is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3, all nations have what? Not some nations, not just America, not just Europe, not just Asia, not just Africa, not just South America, but all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth, not just one king or queen, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abomination. Through the abundance. Let me read this room, start that over. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You know, I can preach all day on these two chapters here, man. I tell you, this is just amazing. Again, what I was saying, I was watching this business video some time back, and this guy was saying the highest paid job in the world is a salesman. And I said, you know, he has to be telling the truth. You know, he's right. They told this salesman, I forgot what he did. He sells some type of commercial boats or something. He did something like that. He made tens of millions of dollars a year. But think about that. Fraud, right? Salesmen with your merchants, which is called merchandise. You know, that's why a lot of times people don't understand the financial world lingo. Like when customers call the bank, you know, we may say a purchase. They say, well, that's not a purchase. A purchase. You use your debit card or credit card. We call it a purchase. We call it merchants. We call stores. You may call it dealers or Macy's. We call them merchants. That's what they are. So when you become, when you learn the business world lingo or stuff like that, it's a different language. And because when you work in the finance world of banking and credit, it's a different world. These things are going to go on until the end of time. This game that they're playing with people, and I've shared this with you before, the so-called people who got money, they know this. They know it's a game. Somebody's already hipped them to the game. Hey, man, we tell people the market's going to crash. We send people out there to scare people so they get out the market so it drops, so people who are rich know it's going to drop to the red. You buy in the red, it's going to go back to turn green, they cash out. They already know. And the 5% of the world know this game. It's a simple game. See, people think the higher you go up the hierarchy, they think it gets more complicated. No, it's complicated in the sense that who you are in contact with are very complicated, meaning that the devil's on top, demons are right, fallen angels and demons are below him. Then you got the so-called elite or so-called Illuminati, if that's what you want to call them on the earth. And then you got the other little people running around talking about they serving them, your entertainers, your merchants, your businessmen, people making millions of dollars, entertainers, athletes, you name it. People who make music, like I say, entertainers, actors, you name it. They all fall up under this umbrella, okay? And the lower you are, the more complicated they want it to be. The reason for it, because they can keep you so distracted that you can't see the ease, meaning that you can't see the easiness that goes on at the top. That's how it is. They're not doing nothing complicated at the top. Please, it's simple. All they do, buy the red, sell the green, real easy. And they tell people, oh, look, man, we're going to lie and tell them that the market's going to drop, a crash is coming, world's no good, dollar's no good, and you panic and you sell. When those people were filthy rich, as soon as you sell, they buy it at a discount. They turn around and do what? Sell it at a higher price. It's the same song and dance. I know it because I understand the Bible. If you understand the Bible, you can understand anything in this world. That's facts. It's a game that the devil's been playing since the beginning of time. It ain't nothing new. Same thing. We learned it as kids when we played Monopoly. Remember a little board game? And I love Monopoly. I play it as an adult on these, you know, on the electronic devices. I love Monopoly. It's the same game. Buy low, sell high. It's the same game. Nothing new. Buy the property cheap. Build the property. Make it look like it's something presentable. And rent it out and make monthly income. Do you know that majority of the millionaires and billionaires of the world have made their wealth through real estate? Real estate and stocks is the main two business. You want to become rich, learn stocks and real estate. Real estate and stocks. You can get a business. Business is a little bit more complicated. But once you learn about stocks, you learn how to run a business because that's what stocks is. You're investing in business. And once you learn about the company and the balance sheet and the financial sheet, that's all you're doing. What is financial sheets and balance sheets? Same thing we deal with at the bank. It's pluses and minuses, positives and negatives. That's all it is. Add, subtract. That's all balance sheets is. Are you making money or are you not making money? I tell you, the game is simple. I'm giving you the game. So what does all this have to do with? I'm talking about Revelation 17 and 18, if you're listening. I'm giving you the world system in a nutshell and telling you what the devil's been doing since he took the reins from Adam and Eve, mainly Adam, in the garden, and left, laughing. I got the deed to the earth, laughing. Because he knew what he was going to do. He was going to build his kingdom dirt on earth. That's what he's been doing for the past 6,000 years. You don't think it's about to be over with? Hang around. Stick around, Jack. If you don't think this is about to be over, stick around. God is sick. I know God is sick and tired of it. I talk about he's sick and tired of it. I said, man, I'm sick and tired of it too. He said the same thing. He said, boy, I said, Christ got to be coming back. I said, man, we've been saying that for the past 2 years. Christ has got to be coming back. But the world is so numb. They're so numb to little kids being shot and killed. They're so numb to child pornography. They're so numb to pedophilia. They're so numb to organ harvesting. They're so numb to prostitutes all over the place. They're so numb to evils and people getting killed, all women and men being killed. They're so numb to murder. They're so numb to mass shooting. They're so numb to folks getting killed live on Facebook. They're so used to it now. There is no more jaw-dropping things out there anymore. People, oh, I heard that before. No, that ain't nothing new. Oh, that ain't nothing. Let's not be back.
I remember from the time back when I was a kid, when somebody come with some bad news and say something over the phone, my mom or dad, their jaw would literally hit the floor. Like, you got to be sure. You got to be joking. People are not like that no more. People die like, oh, people die every day. I'm like, what? That's not how people act now. Oh, well, people are so nonchalant with the evils of this world. Satan got them. A falling away has begun tens of decades ago, probably the early 1900s, the 1800s, the falling away has been happening. The devil has been preparing for this moment for the Antichrist. He's been preparing his stage for the Antichrist to take the stage before the world. The church is going to be out here. So if you say you ain't got nothing to worry about. Romans 10:9-10. I do apologize for not going to it earlier. I kind of got caught up. Let me share it with you real quick. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9-10. You've probably been listening saying, man, I want to know how to escape this nonsense. How do I get into heaven? Man, it's just, it breaks my heart to see so many beautiful people losing their souls, going to hell every day. I said it, going to hell every day. You don't think it's true? That's all I hear now. People have no respect now. On the job, people just cuss and talk about anything. They curse, say anything. They do not care. They have sexual conversations in front of you. They have gay conversations in front. They have no regards, no respect. And used to be a time when people would just know you. But often you'll know a fruit by its, know a tree by its fruit. People would have common sense to know if there's a maturing age man or woman around, and they're not cussing and acting unseemly and cutting up. We would get a sense that, okay, this person's probably a churchgoer. They're probably a child of God. So when we were young, we wouldn't curse and say certain words in front of them. And even we had a homeboy or a homegirl, we were like, hey, chill out, be quiet. Don't you see Sister Johnson over there? Don't you see a Brother Davis over there? Be quiet, watch your mouth. We used to talk like to one another, hey, man, watch your mouth. We used to talk like that and tell one another that stuff. Nowadays, it is. That does not happen. One person cussing, they trying to out-cuss one another. They're trying to out-use slang on each other. They're trying to use who can use the most wicked words. They ain't trying to stop. They don't respect nobody no more. Them days are gone. Far gone. That's why we say, I'm falling away. This generation here, oh, man, I say it all the time. That's why I say I can't see Christ not coming back. I can't see it. I couldn't deal with it. I was 10 more years with this nonsense on earth. And like I say, people have become so callous to it, they act as if, Christ, come on, man. You can't really mean that, bro. Christ ain't coming back. You don't want Christ to come back. So whatever you are enjoying in this life, you want to continue to enjoy. So my wife the other day, no matter what city you go to, it's like all the young people smoke weed like crazy. They smoking on the job. They smoking in the car. They smoking on the bus. I used to drive Uber, boy. Them young kids getting out just loaded up. I'm like, boy, do everybody this day and time smoke weed? Is that a thing now? It's like weed has become the new cigarette. I don't know what they call it now. They call it something else now. I know we used to call it ganja and a chronic and weed. I don't know what they call it now. These kids got another name for it now. They told me what it was, but I just look at it. I'm like, boy, that's all these kids do. This is the world we live in. What we've become, this is where we came to. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahshuah, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple. You believe, you save, you save. You believe in God, you believe that Yahweh raised Yahshuah from the dead, you are saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's it. That's it. That's all it takes. That is it. And you think the devil ain't trying to stop these two verses from going forth into the churches?
He wants to shut these two verses down. He wants to shut the whole gospel down. He said, man, I can give you the rest of the book just to be religious, but the gospels and the word of salvation, the plan of salvation, and I'll let you entertain and give motivational speeches all day long. Get you a nice gay piano or organist, gay choir director, and let them act like they shout and spoon all through the church. Man, let me entertain you. The devil did. He was an entertainer when he was in heaven. Why do you think there's such entertainment on this earth? Oh, my God. Speaking, I don't know who I'm talking to, but, man, y'all can't tell me the word ain't here. Because I give it. You can't tell me the word ain't here. And I ain't tooting my own horn, but I'm going to have to go back and listen to this show. The devil is an entertainer. Why do you think there's such entertainment in the world? Because the devil was an entertainer himself. He know how to distract you. He distracted. Hey, why do you think they fall? They like, man, did you see that cat before? How good he looked and the sound he had coming out of him. He probably had the man just moving like, hey, man, what's that? He was entertaining. And they followed this nut. Yeah, he a nut because he's going to burn for all eternity. I don't care how beautiful he is and how beautiful the sound of music he can make. He's going to burn for what he did for all eternity. And those that are going to follow him. If you're going to be crazy to follow his entertainment to hell and on to the lake of fire, you go right ahead. I'm not impressed at all. What I'm impressed with is the love of God, how God can send his only begotten son, because I couldn't do it. And I told somebody else, he said, man, would you give your life? No, I wouldn't. I got a family. I ain't, no, I'm sorry. I love you with the love of God in me, but I'm just not Christ. I'm not God. Now, I'm impressed with that. Family, it's almost that time. We'll be back on the air next Saturday. Amen. I should be back on the air tomorrow with Elder Bazaar. Amen. But I believe next week we'll be on, not for certain yet. But we'll let you know throughout the week of tomorrow if I'm going to be on. I believe he will be on, not really quite for certain. Hopefully something was said in this word. I can go through this book backwards and forward and give so much of a word to you, man. I love each and every one of you. I just want as many people to get saved as possible. I know everybody's not going to get saved, but it hurts my heart to hear people. I used to be out there in the world. That's why one of the reasons why I stopped going to the club back in the day. Out at the club, getting killed. Coming home from the club, getting killed. Drunk, getting killed, getting shot. Our people are dying left, and right. There's so much death out here in the world. And family, the only way we're going to stop a lot of this nonsense and get back to God. But we know the time that we're in that most are not. Family, I love you. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. Until next week, God bless you. I love you. And we'll talk to you later. Take care, stay safe, and stay cool out there because it's burning hot in Texas. You guys be blessed. I love you all. Good night.